Let me invite you to take your Bibles and stand and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Loving Father, again, you have heard our declaration. We want to thank you for the blessing that the Bible has been to each one of us. And as we study it, Lord, help us to hold it dear to our hearts, and that we would grow in your grace and be like Jesus. Again, I would ask that you would bless me as I bring the message today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I can never make this thing work somehow, but I guess it's okay. My subject this morning is I'm going to talk about the Bible, and I want to tell you something, that we are blessed because of the Bible. In fact, how the Bible blesses us, that's what my study is about today. And we're going to begin in the book of James. James, I find to be a very practical, preacher. And we're going to begin in James chapter 1. In fact, we touched James in our Sabbath school lesson this morning. But James chapter 1, verse 22. And I want you to keep your finger in the book of James, because that's where our old study comes from this morning. But the 22nd verse says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." In America, what a country to live in. I've had opportunity to visit the Middle East. I've been in Egypt. I've been on the square where all this has taken place, this last couple of days. And I'll tell you, it is nice to be able to come back to America. In America, Bibles are everywhere. You can find them in grocery stores, bookstores, motel rooms, laundry rooms, Walmart. They come in all different sizes and versions. There's leather bound and they're paperback. Why, you can even download the Bible on your cell phone today. Anybody do that yet? Yes? There's some in our audience has downloaded the Bible to their cell phone. The Bible is a book of blessings. It promises comfort and strength and hope, wisdom, joy, power, and purpose. But just because you have a Bible doesn't mean you're going to get these benefits from it. Now, James is very practical, and he gives us three steps that we might use that you can receive blessings from God's Word. So we're going to study together today James chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 25. It says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." The Bible is called the perfect law because it is exactly what I need. It's exactly what you need. It promises freedom, and it promises us blessings. So this morning I want to look at the three steps. Number one, if you got a pen, write them down today, because this is good stuff. The first step is I must receive God's Word if I'm going to be blessed by it. I must receive God's Word if I am going to be blessed by it. So now we're going to begin in verse 21. Remember the three steps. Number one, I must receive God's word if I'm going to be blessed with it. Now look at verse 21. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to what? Save your soul. I looked in the New International Version, and this receive, you can underline that. In the NIV, it is translated, this word receive is translated accept the word that is planted in you. It's about choices that we have to make. You see, when God created us, He gave us many wonderful gifts, but one of the most beautiful, most wonderful gifts that God gave us is the gift to choose. So we have to accept, we have to choose to accept the word that God plants in us. James says, it's God's word that is planted in you, and all through Scripture, Scripture itself compares itself to seed. Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 8. Remember last week what we talked about? In Luke chapter 8, Jesus compares the word to seed. In verse 11 it says, the seed is the word of God. The word of God, this seed, this word of God is planted in your hearts. Now let me ask you something. How is it that we can take two seeds, they are exactly the same, and you plant them in different locations, and you get two different crops of fruitfulness? One piece of ground might have been prepared, and the other may not have been prepared. How is it that you can take two children growing up in a family, and one will be honest and kind and gentle and trustworthy, and the other can be a real rascal? Came basically from the same seed. Mother and father planted. You know, I often think about Adam and Eve. They're in the garden in their perfection, in every sense of the word, you know. They're right there with the beginning of everything. They had boys and girls, but the first two boys, one killed the other. Same seed, same family. The same principles that was taught to one was taught to the other. But why the difference? How is it that we can have two people attend the same church service, listen to the same message, and one person gets a blessing from it, and the other walks away and says, I didn't get anything out of it? One heart, you see, was prepared for a blessing, and the other heart was prepared to criticize. Verse 19b. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Slow to wrath, it says in the King James Version. Don't miss this. When we are talking, we are not listening. Notice what the text says in verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. When I am talking, when you are talking, you are not listening. You know, God gave us two ears and one mouth, so we ought to listen twice as much as we talk, don't you think? I've heard it said that when you listen, you actually lower your blood pressure. But when you speak, your blood pressure goes up. Now, that's the truth, because the last time that I was to the doctor, while they were taking my blood pressure, I've tried to carry on a conversation. And she says, no, no, don't talk. Put your feet flat on the floor. Don't talk, and we'll get a better reading if you are not talking. Now, something else James says there in the text in verse 19, we should be slow to speak and slow to get angry, or wrath, slow to wrath. Did you ever see someone get angry? They get all red in the face. They begin to say foolish things and storm around and make accusations, and their blood pressure goes up. Folks, James gave us good counsel. Slow to speak and slow to anger. Be calm. Verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The translators in the New International Version wrote it this way. They said, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Before the seed, before God's word can be planted, you need to till the soil. You need to break up that ground. You've got to pull out the rocks and the weeds. The moral filth that is so prevalent around us prevents God's word, you see, from getting into our hearts. We talked about the mind this morning in our Sabbath school lesson. Did you enjoy the Sabbath school today? My, it was good stuff. The mind is a powerful organ, isn't it? So what James is saying, get rid of the evil. Lay aside all the emotional garbage, the old habits, the junk that is in your life, and then God can get through to you with His Word. So the question then is, how can we get rid of this filth and be clean? John has the answer. In 1 John 1:9, he says, by confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God can fix us if we choose. We've got to allow Him to work with us. The Living Bible says, get rid of all that's wrong in your life, both on the inside and the out. Side. That means that we are to be compliant, we are to be teachable, we are to yield, we are to be humble, we have to be willing, we have to choose to be changed. And James comes along and says, humbly accept the word that God plants in your heart. Do you act like you know it all? If you know it all, God's word is not going to get through to you. God says if you want to be blessed, first you have to receive it. Amen? We have to choose to receive the word, the seed, and allow it to germinate within us. But reception, receiving God's word, is not enough. James says we not only need to receive the word, but number two, we are to reflect on God's word. Look at verses 23 and 24. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, and he immediately forgets what kind of man he was. God's word, James says, is like a mirror. Now let me ask you, what's the purpose of a mirror? The mirror, you see, allows us to evaluate ourselves. Do you know, Don, I won't go out of the house without looking in the mirror? She checks herself out. And if she don't think that it is presentable what she's wearing or how she's groomed, do you know what? She goes back and changes. It's all about choices. Now, the thing is, the fact that the mirror cannot clean you up, it cannot change you, can it? The mirror only points out the condition that you are in. You have to choose to allow to be changed. So when we look in the mirror, we evaluate ourselves. You see, the mirror helps us to assess ourselves and see what the outside looks like. But God's mirror, God's Word, not only assess the outside, but it reflects what's on the inside. Have you ever seen yourself in the Bible? You see, God's Word, when we look into God's Word, the mirror of God's Word, it looks at the intent of our heart. There we see the selfishness, the pride, the anger, the hatred, the maliciousness, all that filth. But the Bible not only shows us the bad stuff, but it shows us the good stuff. God's Word shows everything about us. Now the fact is, a lot of people don't like to read or look into the Bible because they are afraid, you see. They are unwilling to face themselves and see themselves as they really are. And James, he gives us the practical way to reflect on the Word of God. Let's look at verse 25 again. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful ear, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, when I study the Bible, I like to have one, two, maybe three, sometimes four different translations. Because oftentimes, especially when I'm using the King James Version, I have a difficult time with that old colloquial English. I don't understand it. So when I use the new King James Version, which I'm using right here today, and I put the NIV up, maybe the Living Bible or the Revised Standard Version or one of these other versions, when you read it in all these different versions, you get an idea what the translators are trying to say to you. Now the NIV reads in verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law, and I underline the word intently. What does the word intently mean? You're seriously looking into this stuff now, aren't you? You're intentionally doing something. The person who intently looks into that perfect law is actually researching what he is reading about. So while we are doing this research, there are a number of things that we should be looking for. Now, when you get sick and you go to the doctor and they draw blood from your arm and they send that blood off to a laboratory and there's a standard, there's things that they're looking for. There's seven or eight things that is happening in the blood. If one or two of these things are not up to what it should be, if your white blood count or your red blood count or your neutrophils or what's some of the other things in the blood? Yeah. So if one or two of these are off balance, then the doctor prescribes something or he makes some suggestions, things that you can change in your lifestyle that you can correct this. Now, when we open God's Word and we look intently into that perfect law, as we research what we're looking about, there should be some standard, there should be some things that we're looking for.
And I came up with 10 of them when you study the Bible. Things that you should look for as you study. The first thing is there sin to confess? Is there sin to confess? Is there a promise to claim? We should look for the promises in God's Word. You know there's over 7,000 promises in God's Word? Do you know if there's sin in your life, you will not experience true happiness until you make the thing right? If you sinned against your wife, if you sinned against your children, until you go and say, "Please forgive me, I'm sorry," can you experience all the happiness in the home that you should? No way. So ask the question, is there sin to confess? Is there a promise to claim? Is there an attitude that needs to be changed? Is there a command to obey? Is there an example to follow? Is there a prayer to pray? There are lots of prayers in the Bible, and you can take these prayers and pray them for yourself and for others, and you can know they will always be answered because they're already in the Word of God. I've done it before. Take the book of Psalms and pray through the book of Psalms, and anywhere there's a pronoun where they use he, she, or it, put your own name in there and pray through these psalms that way. Let's go to Psalm number 1 just for an example. This is good stuff. Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. How would you make that your prayer? Blessed is Pastor Al. Blessed is Donna. Blessed is Ben. Blessed is Matthew when they walk not in the counsel. Blessed is Ben who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's blessed. Happiness comes to the person, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but bends delight as in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Ben shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever Ben does shall prosper. Whatsoever I do shall prosper. Put your own self into it. Folks, we'll have hearts that is filled with gratitude. We will have joy in our hearts. We will send up these prayers of thankfulness to God and to others. Prayers to be prayed. Another standard that you should look for as you study the Bible, is there error to avoid? Folks, we have all kinds of error within us. And to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to what's in error, there's no light in it. So when we study God's Word, we are programming ourselves. And when these temptations come, if it is out of harmony with God's Word, you will know that it is not God's voice that's speaking to you, because he is not going to speak contrary to his word. When you read a text of Scripture, is there truth to believe in this text of Scripture? Is there something I need to believe God for? Is there something that I need to thank God for? Oh, folks, the fact that you can open up God's Word and invite the Holy Spirit to be with you. The promise of the Holy Spirit is that He will guide us, that He will comfort us, that He will direct us. Your heart should be bursting with gratitude and thankfulness. I am so thankful for God's Word. Thankful for the Holy Spirit. That's how intently their hearts that we should study God's Word. We should look for the details. James says we need to receive the Word of God and then reflect on it, first by reading it and second by reviewing it. Not only should we review it, verse 25 says, we are to continue to do so. Let's look at 25 again. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. What does it mean to continue? It means to do it over and over and over. Do you know what the Bible calls this? The Bible calls it meditation. When you think about something over and over, it's meditation. Meditation is not putting your mind in neutral and contemplating nonsense. Meditation means to think seriously about something and you mull it over and over in your mind until you understand. How many of you are acquainted with worry? Do you know how to worry? Oh, nobody in this church knows anything about worry. Oh, some of you do. Some honest saints there this morning. Do you know, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. You see, worry is taking a negative thought and you think about it over and over, and it is called worry. Now we take God's Word and we think about it over and over, and it's called meditation. Meditate. What was our Sabbath school memory verse this morning? Whatsoever thing is true and honest and pure, you know, that which is good, meditate on these things. In fact, we are told in the spirit of prophecy that we are to meditate on God's Word, especially on Jesus Himself, the closing events of His life. We should meditate on these things. God says you want to be blessed. Receive it. Accept it. Psalm 119:97 says, I meditate on your Word all day long. Verse 25 also says that we are to remember God's Word. And it says it in this fact that we are not to forget what we have heard. Verse 25, continue in it and is not a forgetful error. So the things that you have heard, the things that you have read, don't forget them. You know, nothing will do more for your spiritual life than developing a habit of memorizing Scripture. What's the guy's name, honey? It's Steve. Steve Connors. A number of you know Steve. For Christmas time, he decided that he was going to commit the Christmas story found in Luke's Gospel to memory. And he was going to come to church and recite it from memory, which he did. And I was really impressed with him. But he told after, he said he thought maybe it'd take him a couple or 3 hours to memorize these verses of Scripture. But it took him about 3 weeks. You see, you get out of the habit of exercising that spiritual muscle. And it takes you some time to do it. But folks, we should commit God's Word to memory, because I don't know how long you're going to be able to keep it. One of these days it could be taken from you. So commit it to memory. Psalm 119:11 says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. You see, memorizing God's Word, you have to memorize God's Word if you want to be blessed by it. There's another wonderful promise. You can look in Joshua 1, verse 8. It talks about memorizing God's word. He says, if you do that, you would be successful. Successful in business, successful in your marriage, successful in parenting. Whatever you do, if you put God first, you will be successful. We are to remember what's important to us. Take notes. Becky takes notes. Write things down so we don't forget what we read. Do you know what educators tell us? Educators tell us that we, and they've done the study, educators tell us that we forget 95%. How many percent? 95. We forget 95% of what we hear in 72 hours. Now that got to be a preacher's nightmare. He works during the week to prepare a sermon, and by Wednesday, you've forgotten all about it. So that's why you read, if you can see it on the screen, if you can write notes about it, you can retain it in your memory longer. James says, receive God's word with the right attitude. Reflect on God's word by reading it, reviewing it, and remembering it. But there's one more thing. I must respond. We must respond to God's word. Look at verse 22 again with me. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I must do something about it. I got to act on it. I've got to live it. I've got to practice it. Do not, it says, do not merely listen to what the word says and deceive yourself. Do what it says. James says it is self-deception when we don't let this change take place. We deceive ourselves. To have knowledge of the Bible does not make us mature Christians. The test of a mature Christian is not knowledge. The test of a mature Christian is character. The test of a mature Christian is character. You know, we live in the Bible Belt right here in the South, and there are many who claim that they have Bible knowledge. But I want to tell you, they are spiritual midgets. We need to practice what that knowledge. We need to apply it. We need it to put it to work in our lives. We must develop a character like Jesus. Amen. There are many who believe, but they do not practice what they believe. We have a work to do. We have to encourage these individuals to read, not only read God's word and have this knowledge, but they are to be doers of the word. James says, if you want to be blessed, you've got to live the word of God, not just hear it and not just know it. James, brother of Jesus, no doubt he sat at Jesus' feet time and time again, and he heard him speak this parable in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And Matthew, you know, after the death of Christ, as Matthew began to write out, or James began to write out his epistle, no doubt he was influenced by this parable that Jesus spoke. Go there to in Matthew chapter 7, if you will. You were acquainted with it, because we sing the song in the children's division. Therefore, verse 24, Jesus says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and what? And does them, I will liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. The wise man is the one who hears it. And then he goes out and he does it. He makes an honest attempt to do that which is written, that which he has heard. He is not just an hearer, but he is a doer also of God's word. He is a blessing. He is blessed not only to himself, but he is a blessing to others. James, verse 26 and 27. I will finish with these two verses. If anyone among you think he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, and we could spend some time on that. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Their hearts, that's good counsel, isn't it? There are so many influences out there that it absolutely can destroy your religious experience. You know, I was reading a statistic about young men and women in high school. 78% of them smoke pot today. Now they know that this is happening in the schools. It's happening in our schools right here in Aiken County. But the principals, the school boards, they put a blind eye to it. Now I want to tell you, I've never smoked pot in my life, but I've been around people who smoke pot, and they are the silliest people in the world. They speak foolishness. All I can say is, oh Lord, give us the strength and the courage to do that which is right and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Be like Him. Amen.